in John chapter 12, starting with verse 20, John chapter 12. I recall when the kids were little, it was always an adventure taking them shopping. There were always little arms reaching out to touch something. And Kayla, when she was little, she would reach out and say, "See it? See it?" And I would respond, "Look with your eyes, not your fingers." Well, as she gained more command of the English language, she would respond to my response by saying, "Give it to me here in my hand. Give it to me here in my hand." There is something special about being able to touch something, to see something with your touch. We need to get our hands on things before we really are able to assess them. If you've had the blessing of being able to Skype with grandkids or relatives, that's nice. But it's not quite like being able to grab them and scoop them up and rough them up a little bit. When you buy a car, you want to test drive it first. This buying them offline, it can look so good. It can have all of the bells and whistles that you were hoping for. It can be a good price, but how does it handle on the road? My brother-in-law just had his wife go check out a pickup truck for him, and he and I were texting back and forth as he found this pickup. His dad used to have a pickup truck just like it, and, you know, all these nostalgic things came back, and he was ready to name it Edgar after his dad. It had a crate engine in it. It was all good to go, and then his wife drove it. She said it was an absolute dog, couldn't even get out of its own way. And cross that one. You got to touch it to know. How often the wife and I have been through a store and she'll say, "Touch that blanket. Isn't it soft? Sit in that chair. Let me know what it feels like." I don't want to sit. Come on, now sit in the chair. You know, you experience things together through touch. And there's something special about seeing with your touch. We even go to the extent of, "Oh, here, taste this. It's really sour." Or "Try this soup. I think it's gone bad. What do you think?" "Well, it sounds really inviting, but I think I'll pass." Is what? No. "Here, try it. Isn't that terrible? Oh, and then you got to experience it together. I'm so glad we got to do that together. That's really nice." Yeah. Well, Jesus came so we could experience God up close. In fact, John put it in that language. He said, we're relaying to you what we have seen and heard and handled. They handled Jesus. They touched him. He's real. He did amazing things. We saw it with our own eyes. And a lot of the gospel account, and indeed the whole New Testament, is about this is what God's like. And we experience vicariously through the people who met him personally what they experienced. We imagine being on a boat when a storm comes up and the Lord's sleeping. "Hey, don't you care if we perish?" And all of that. He came to be touched. And he also came to touch us. It's a two-way street there. Believe what they experienced. Understand and grow, but also insist on your own experience. If he is the God who is with us, I want to know him from it. Give it to me here in my hand. I want to touch him myself. John chapter 12, verse 20. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. Father, we have the same request this morning. We want to see Jesus. We love the church. It's a nice building. We love each other. It was nice shake hands, be friendly, and all that. But there's only one reason we came. That's to find you. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Lord, I pray that we will experience you or continue experiencing you through this service, that by the time we're done, we'll be able to wipe our mouth and say, "Oh, that was good. Oh, that was God." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There were some Greeks, non-Jews, who decided to go to the Passover feast. That's a little bit odd, isn't it? It's the high Jewish holiday, and some Gentiles decided that they were going to go. But there was a reason they were there. It's because they were concerned about the things of God. They had grown weary of all the idolatry and immorality that the pagans had to offer. Somewhere along the line, they heard some scripture. It gripped them in their hearts. They wanted to know more about this God of Israel, this creator God, creator of heaven and earth. And so they're interested in spiritual things. And they're seeking truth. And they're on the right trail now. They've not completely converted to Judaism, but they're interested so much so that they've made their way to Jerusalem during the Passover season. And unlike most of their peers, they've abandoned idolatry, and now they're going after God. Their thirst, their search has led them for more than just in the direction of God. They're looking for Jesus. They have either seen him in person or they've heard about him. They know that there's a connection, that this is very special. And so they want to have some time, some face time, some one-on-one time with the Lord. Now imagine their luck. For hundreds of years, Gentiles as well as Jews had been going to the Passover feast in Jerusalem and had a wonderful spiritual experience at that. These guys happened on the very year, the very Passover, when the spotless Lamb of God was about to be offered up on the cross. They're during the Passion Week. They're looking for God. They're looking for Jesus. They're looking for some transforming power in their own lives. And they just happened upon Holy of Holy Weeks in the Jewish calendar. The most significant Passover of all. I'm not sure how much they knew about who Jesus was, whether they're thinking he's just a great prophet, he's a healer, if they're really cognizant of the fact that he's the Messiah, the one coming to redeem us all and to save the nation of Israel and indeed the whole world. But this much they know, they want to see Jesus. Jesus seems to be the next step in their progression, in their spiritual lives, and coming closer to God. Perhaps they had seen the Lord already from the vantage point of the crowd, made one of his sessions where he was preaching, seen him do a few miracles, and that excited them. And they wondered, I wonder if we could get close enough to have a conversation. We've seen him have conversations with others, and maybe we could be lucky. I've got some questions. I've got some nagging things. There are a few things. If I could just talk to him for a little while, I would love to hear what he would have to say. Have you ever wondered why John included the detail that Philip was from Bethsaida in Galilee? What does that add to the narrative? He doesn't say that in other places that he's written. When you read about Peter, you read about, he doesn't mention where they're from. Why in this instance? Well, they were Greeks, and they're coming, they're looking for Jesus. Philip was from Bethsaida in Galilee. Galilee was next to Gentile territory on all sides. Well, at least the north, east, and west. And Bethsaida itself was a cosmopolitan area where a lot of Gentiles would have lived or been coming through. And it wasn't far from Gentile strongholds like Tyre and Sidon. So Philip would have been familiar. Maybe they even knew Philip. Maybe they were from the same area. Maybe they had some business dealings with him earlier on when he was in his other career. And now they're looking for Jesus. They recognize that Philip is one of his followers, so they seek him out. Why didn't they just go to Jesus directly? Well, we know that Jesus in his last week was doing a lot of teaching in the temple. Guess where Gentiles were not allowed to go? So they couldn't go into the temple to hear Jesus or to talk to him. Maybe they're thinking, hey, Phil, would you make a connection for us so that maybe Jesus could come out and talk to us? Or maybe we can meet up later after he's done with his teaching session. We'll buy him lunch or dinner, and we can have a time of meeting together. That would be great. So, sir, we want to see Jesus. Can you make that happen for us? It's a desire, and it's not just a casual request. Well, here, you know, we got the brochure, and we've seen the temple, and we've seen the waterworks, and we've seen all the gates. That's pretty nice. We saw the watchtower. These are good things. But you know what? No, the reason they came, they didn't live in Jerusalem. They didn't live in Judea. They traveled miles to get here, and the one thing on their agenda is they want to see Jesus. Now, the fact that Philip goes to find Andrew and talk it over with him first before they find Jesus makes me think that this is awkward, this is odd. Gentiles want to see Jesus in Jerusalem. Now, back up in Galilee, they were used to having interaction with Gentiles on a fairly regular basis. There would have been Gentiles in the crowds that had come. The Syrophoenician woman had followed Jesus for a while, asking for help for her daughter. All of these things had gone on elsewhere. But this is Jerusalem during the holiest of holy weeks. Remember, we talked about some people went early to purify themselves and to get ready for the Passover. So everybody's in that mindset. We want to be right. It's sort of like when we take Holy Communion, only it lasted a whole week long. And so everything is a little bit more intense than normal, spiritually speaking. So they're in Jerusalem. The high priests are watching. Everybody's got their ears up. And what would it be like if Jesus was to talk to Gentiles, have close contact with them during this time? A lot of the Jews would not want anywhere near a Gentile during this Holy Week. Kind of like, you know, ooh, you got cooties kind of a thing. And you're going to contaminate me. I'm trying to worship God. And so they talk it over first. Well, what do you think? You think Jesus would meet with these guys? You know, he's kind of busy these days. Well, I don't know. Can't hurt to ask. And so the two of them go to Jesus, and they're going to ask him. Now, remember what the question is. They're on a mission from a group of Gentiles, and what they want to ask Jesus is, will you meet with these guys? Okay, think of the possible answers. Will you meet with these guys? Here's what Jesus says. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Okay, so are you going to meet with these guys or not? These guys would like to know if you're going to meet. Now is the time for the Son of Man to be glorified, very truly, unless a kernel of wheat falls and dies. And I take it that the disciples were kind of like a little stunned. Maybe Jesus walks away and they look at each other, so what did he just say? Yeah, I heard what he said, but what does that mean? And what are we going to tell the guys that sent us here to ask the question? Well, maybe they'll know what it means. You know, Jesus is pretty smart and he sees things we don't. So they, with a little bit of confidence, they go back and, well, what did Jesus say? Now is the time for the Son of Man to be glorified, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies. So what does that mean? I don't know, we thought you'd know. What's going on here? I'm figuring they're thinking yes or no. Jesus, can you meet with these guys? Yes or no. Instead, they get this monologue that's a little bit hard to connect to the question that's being asked. So what was the answer? Did Jesus grant their request or not? Well, the answer is yes and no. Or more no and yes. No in the immediate, but yes in the eternal, in the little while. You see, Jesus had spent 3.5 years connecting with people. He had large crowds that he preached to. That was an economy of time. He could reach a lot of people at once when they all crowded together. But he also met one-on-one with a lot of folk. There was Nicodemus, Zacchaeus, the lady with the issue of blood, Jairus, the woman at the well, The guy possessed by Legion, blind Bartimaeus, and we can add to that list a little bit more. He'd spent 3.5 years getting out there, seeking and saving that which was lost. He touched an awful lot of people during that time, but now is a special time. This is the last week of his life. This is Passion Week. And it's all about getting to the cross, getting through the cross, rising from the dead. He's got a specific work that needs to get done right now. This last week of Jesus on earth is about providing salvation for everyone. He's been out seeking and knocking on doors and doing all of that for 3.5 years. He's been a very busy Messiah. But now he's got to focus. He's got to be ready for that cross. The Father has boxes for him to check off this week. He's cleansed the temple. He's been doing teaching. He's been healing people. He's been having conversations with his disciples in the evening. He's been teaching the crowds during the day. So, no, Jesus wouldn't be having a private session with these guys today. But, yes, Jesus will soon be available to everyone to experience him up close and personal. Right now, he's just a kernel of wheat. And that kernel can only be at one place in one time and get from one place to another. And people who are over here, we're hoping he's over here. And people over there, we're hoping he's going to get over there. And they're all this and that. But after the cross, there will be seed for everybody. It just like the feeding of the 5,000. Started with just a little bit, but oh boy. Later, will Jesus meet with me? Yes, but not today. Just be a little bit patient, and it's going to be more amazing. I know what you're hoping to experience, but what will be yours as a result of him not meeting with you today but sticking to his agenda is going to bless the socks off of you. It's going to be better than what you're hoping for today. Have a little bit of patience in this. Well, if Jesus going to the cross makes him available to everybody, how do we enter in? How do we get a private audience with Jesus? There are a lot of folk who are happy to be part of a crowd. I want to join this church, join that denomination, so that in Mass we will all go to heaven. That's not how it works. I want to see Jesus. I need to have an experience, a personal experience with him in order to step over that threshold. And Jesus said, well, here's how you enter in. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Okay, again, what does that mean? How do I find Jesus? We find Jesus in what and who he is serving. Find out what he loves and get involved in that. Find out who he cares about and care about them. I know we're all, oh, Lord, if you'll just heal me, then I can get involved. No, no. Go and be bread for other people, and he'll see that you get enough to eat as well. As you pour out, it will be poured back into you. Don't become so egocentric, so self-centered that, you know, I need to have this. I need to hear this. I need my time. If he doesn't give me my time now, well, be done with him. No, no, no. You know whether it said follow Jesus? Remember when you were first born again, how wonderful it felt? All those warm, fuzzy spiritual feelings, and you thought, man, this is great. I'm always going to feel this wonderful, and I'm always going to be this excited because God is awesome. But maybe you have cooled through time. The Bible says, follow him. If you're no longer close to God, you're not following. His presence has moved on, and you have to move. We keep thinking, if I could just go back to, he's not there anymore. If you're following somebody, they're going somewhere, right? Ever get in a parking lot and the guy said, follow me, and he gets in his car and just sits there? No, that doesn't happen. When you're following somewhere, you're moving. A lot of times we find Christ, we get all excited, and then we run off into our life. And then we wonder, what happened to Jesus? That's a good question. The question is, where is Jesus? Lord, you need to find me. No, you need to find him. What would Jesus have you do with your life? That's where your life begins. That's what it's all about. Far too many people are looking to add Jesus to what they're doing. You haven't surrendered to him. You're asking him to surrender to you. And when you submit yourself to God's will, that's where the joy comes in. That's where the peace comes in. That's where you find him. We were in the prayer room before service, and Steve Gephardt was the first to speak up. He said, I was on a different shift this week, so I was with a different group of people. These folk don't know me. But I had my Expect Jesus shirt on, and somebody happened to ask me a question. And he said, I started, and then it just poured out of me. He said, I have no idea what all I said, but it felt great. And he said, by the time he was done, the lunchroom was empty, except for one fella. And he said, you were right on. He wasn't going to get that affirmation until the rest of the room was gone. You had a bold preacher and you had a, you know, incognito guy. But, oh, hey, that was good. You know, that was good. And he said, that made his week. He went to work. He works in a box factory. He works a machine. But he doesn't go there to make boxes. I mean, he does. But he's a light in that dark place. And then Stan shared that he was up there at the butcher shop. He loaded his truck and ready for his deliveries. But he saw some of the guys looking out the little window at a woman who was scantily clad out there. And hey, look at that. And he said it just burst out of him. And he just started quoting scripture. And he just started, it's a brethren business. And he just rebuked him, you know. And he gave him an earful. And then he got in his truck and he drove off and to do his meat delivery. And he said, you know, that's not natural. That doesn't normally happen to anybody, but not normally to Stan, although Stan. But he was, you know, he wasn't worried that he offended his fellow workers. Now, there's a, you know, you should do all things, you know, be concerned about, yeah. He was more concerned about men who claimed to be Christians acting like they were in junior high and ogling over a woman. I love that. And he drove away feeling affirmed by the Holy Spirit. You know, now that the enemy, oh, I know what you look like, holier than thou. No. How many think maybe that's what we need today? We have people being so immoral, and they're proud of it. How convoluted is that? Proud of it. I don't know. Your kid ever come home and say, hey, guess what, Dad? I got an F. I got an F. Hey, Dad, I was in detention twice this week. That's up from last week. You won't believe how bad I was on the bus. Oh, man, I lit him up. But that's exactly what we're doing in our society today. We are now proud of the most shameful things. It's crazy. It's crazy. But we've got some brothers out there who aren't afraid of being used by the Holy Spirit. Find out what God thinks about what everybody's talking about. You don't have to be belligerent. You don't have to be ignorant or whatever. But man, there's got to be some light. It's getting so very dark. And maybe we could just be lightning bugs. You know, we're not going to light anybody's path from here to, you know, East Berlin and back. But there's a light. Oh, yeah, I'm reminded there is a right. There is a wrong. I need to follow what is good, what is godly? Find out what Jesus cares about. Care about it. Become involved in it. Do something about it. Speak on his behalf. and you'll find Jesus. Oh, I've been sitting here worrying. I've been sitting here praying. I've been sitting here. That's good. But maybe you need to put your faith into action and follow. Jesus, what would you want done today? How would you like them to be helped? Serve and you will find Jesus there. Is Jesus always available whenever you need him to show up? Yes and no. Part of our consternation over this scripture is there are some guys, they came from a long way away to Jerusalem. They didn't live there. They came there to see Jesus. And they're that close. And they got to the apostles and they said, could we see Jesus? And the answer was, well, not today. And that discourages us because, oh, man, this guy came all the way and we know Jesus' heart. Why in the world wouldn't he meet with them? You know, he's God and he can do, you know, and it kind of hurts our heart. He didn't meet with them. But there was a greater good at stake. Oh, he could have just stayed alive and kept meeting with everybody who wanted to meet with him and he'd still be alive today meeting with him. But he wouldn't have provided salvation for the world. And providing salvation for the world was more important than scratching their itch in the moment. I got a few questions. I'd like to have a little bit of time. The same thing happens in our lives. To us, our need is urgent. I need a word. I need a touch. I can't handle this any longer. This is too heavy. This is too hard for me. Jesus, where are you? Can't I meet with you today? Sometimes the answer he gives just confuses us. What did that have to do? I was thinking yes or no. Are you going to help me or not? Are you going to heal me or give me the strength to see it through or give me some kind of word that's going to hold me up? And there just seems to be silence for a while. For us, the need is urgent, but for him, the awkwardness, the uncomfortableness of the waiting, the frustration is all part of the journey that he's putting together. When I'm making soup, I never take an onion and crunch into it. I might take a little celery, you know, I might munch on a carrot or whatever, but a lot of the things I put in the soup, I would never eat on their own. But I really wouldn't want my soup without them. Because they add a different flavor. They bring out a fullness. And the same is true of our lives. Some of the things that happen to us, we would never want that to be our life. We wouldn't want that to define our life. But because they happen, because we've been through them, they add a spice of appreciation, of joy, of recovery that we could not have received any other way. And the only thing we can do is trust the cook. Lord, does it really take that much onion? Oh, no, not jalapenos. Hucha que pusta. Ha ha. But wait till he's done. He's not done with the whole sauce just yet. Sometimes the answer Jesus gives us isn't what we want to happen at all. Sometimes his answer doesn't even make sense. Like, are you coming or not? A kernel of wheat falls in the ground. And sometimes he just stays quiet. I know he's a talky God. I know he's a God of revelation. But there are times he just... And we think it's us. Well, there must be something wrong. I haven't heard from God. It could be you. But there are times when, no, it's him. Hezekiah was seeking Lord. God pulled back from him to see how he would handle the situation. That's what it says. Oh, Lord, please don't do that. I don't want to handle any situations without you. But sometimes the Father tests us. I've been teaching you. Let's see if you've learned anything. How many have ever learned you haven't learned anything? I thought I'd be better at this than now. And then God can say, okay, this is a teachable moment. Let's take a few steps back. What did I tell you before? How are we going to handle this? Okay. Always he's working out for us the greatest possible good. Lord, I think you really should have acted yesterday, let alone today. So, please, how many would have loved to have seen Jim Border Jr. jump out of that ICU bed, do a few laps around the hospital and run out? Wouldn't that have been great? It will happen. It's our slow motion miracle. We've seen amazing things come about. I remember Darla praying, we prayed together for Jim to say a word. She said, if he could just say a word. He was looking like he wanted to talk, but nothing would come out. Just say a word. I don't know if you visited with him yet or not. He's a chatterbox now. A miracle has taken place. And now we're praying that his limbs and everything else will come together and so on. Always God is working out for us the greatest part. Well, what good could happen? He's lost his job. He's, you know, suffering. And this. Trust the cook. Trust the cook. I really like to be alone in the kitchen when I'm cooking. If you have some advice for me, keep it to yourself. I think I know what I'm doing, and I'm happy in that state. And God doesn't need our help. God doesn't need our advice. We trust his answer even when we don't understand what he's saying. Are you going to, can we come see you? A kernel of wheat falls in the ground. What? That's their word. So Phil and Andy, they look at each other and what? And so they take it back to the guys who sent them. Well, what did Jesus say? Yes or no? He said, what does that mean? I can imagine that Phil and Andy are standing there feeling a little awkward. We told you what Jesus said. We thought maybe it would make sense to you. It doesn't, huh? How many know that awkward is a tool that God uses in our lives? Now, I know you feel out of place. You must have missed it, and maybe I'm not where I'm supposed to be, or what? No. Sometimes awkward is exactly where God wants you to be. Awkward, you're all attuned to, oh, Lord, this doesn't make sense to me. What am I supposed to do next? What does it mean? Have you ever delivered a word and walked away thinking, man, I must have blown it because that didn't make sense to me? First word of prophecy God ever used me in a church, it was interpretation of tongue. I gave it, but I thought, man, that didn't make any sense at all. I walked out on the porch, and my treasurer walked up, and this is in Shanksville, and he said, wow, what you said was just right on. This is exactly what nobody would have known. Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know. And sometimes you give a word, you feel led of the Lord to say something, you say, and it goes down like a lead balloon. Oh, they didn't respond well to that. I must have been wrong. No, don't count on that one, buddy. Don't count. And I wonder if Jesus' words didn't stick in their craw. We came all the way to Jerusalem from where we were at, and we're just asking to see if we could see him for a little while, and we get this seed in the ground. What is up with that? Now, you know, he's ready to be glorified. That's nice for him, but what does that mean to us? And that just, they might have gone away mad. They might, forget this stuff. Well, we thought he was going to be something special, and now this is the response. What kind of a Messiah is he if he gives people this kind of a response? It's stuck in their craw until they blossomed into a wonderful revelation. I can imagine a couple months later, they're putting the pieces together. And maybe they're hearing one of the apostles preach about it. But, the week we were there, he was crucified. And maybe they heard about that, right? And they thought, well, good thing we didn't meet with him anyway. He can't be much of a Messiah if they killed him. Oh, well, throw that one away. And then they hear something. Oh, what was that we just threw away? We need that. Look, the piece is fitting. That's what he said. He said he couldn't be with us that day because he had to be the seed that was being planted. He was being planted that week. And now that he's been planted, there's seed for everybody. And there's salvation for me, and there's salvation for you too. This is wonderful news. It's not just for the Jews, it's for the Gentiles too. And then, ba-boom! Sometimes God has us walk through the valley of the shadow of death so that when we break out into the light at dawn, it's brighter than we ever thought it could be. It's revelation. And he doesn't mind that we're upset or frustrated or whatever for a little while. He's tickled with what's going to happen to us when we break through to the other side. So, yeah. Sometimes you're going to feel frustrated. Sometimes you're going to feel awkward. Sometimes you're going to obey God and it's not going to feel good. That's not the test. Learn his voice. Speak his word. Be instant in season and out of season. Spread the word when it's well accepted and when it isn't. When you're spreading the word on hard soil and when you got that good soil that's reverberating with amens. It's not our job to make them receive it. It's just our job to give it. To be who he's asked us to be. The meeting with the resurrected spiritual Jesus was very real indeed. These Gentiles who had come looking for Jesus, but they didn't get a private audience. But there was a day when the convicting power of the Holy Spirit fell on them. And it was better than what they could have done face to face with a physical. You know, there were a lot of people who met Jesus face to face and they never got it. There were some people who had Jesus right there, and you know what they did? They spit in his face. They yanked at his beard. They had no idea who he was. They were under no conviction at all. So would you rather have met him physically? What a moment that would have been. Or would you rather have him living in your heart for all eternity? Oh, I wish I could have walked with Jesus when? Maybe. But I will walk with him then. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. You know, heaven is a beautiful place, far beyond what I can describe. I couldn't care less about gold streets. I don't care about pearl gates. But boy, do I want to see my Jesus. I want to hug around his neck. And I want to thank him for what he's done for me. I want to hold that nail-scarred hand for a moment. And I just want to bow down and worship him. He's been so, so very good. Have you had your meeting with him yet? Have you met with him? Is it still vibrant? Are you following him? Is there a growth experience in your life? Is he trimming your branches? Are you growing more fruit these days? Is he calling you on stuff? Is he messing with you? If not, that doesn't mean that you're perfect. It means he's moved on and maybe you're missing it somewhere and you need to catch up. Lord, I just want what you want. I want your will in my life. A final question. How long has it been since you've had a significant meeting with Jesus? Since you've really heard his voice? Since you really felt his presence? You know, if you're married, you know, there are different kinds of hugs. You may be passing your spouse and you feel particularly amorous and so you go in for a hug. You know, there are some hugs where, well, I guess they're busy. They got something else on their mind. And they're, okay, get out of my way. And there are some hugs where you get the, oh, sorry, didn't know. And then there are some hugs that go further than you thought it was going to. You kind of sink into each other. You feel the stress drain from your body. You smell their hair and you feel a peace. You didn't know a hug could do all that. And you just want to linger there like for the next year. It's just a really good hug. I think we treat the Lord that way. I hear Jesus calling. Not now, Lord. I got this. But as soon as I'm through here, then we'll, you know, rain check. Or, yeah, that's a huggy, huggy, Jesus. But, you know, what I really need is an answer to this problem that I have. And maybe it's been a while since we've just surrendered and said, you know what, Lord? I'm not asking for another thing. It's like that new song that we learned. All I really want is you. I'm just here for you today. I didn't come on behalf of my mom who's sick. I'm not worried about tomorrow necessarily. I just want you. Would you stand with me this morning? Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus.
Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. To reach out and touch Him.